First Peter chapter 1. God has launched us out in this book. For this year, these are the two books that God has placed on my heart to preach from this year. First Peter chapter 1. We'll all stand for the reading of God's word. First Peter chapter 1, and we'll begin reading at verse 6. We'll pick up right there. That's where we left off last week. First Peter chapter 1 at verse 6. If you have it, say agape. Hear ye the word of the Lord. It says, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And from this passage of scripture, we want to use as a subject this morning a proper perspective for trying times. God bless you. You may be seated. A proper perspective for trying times. What is your perspective? How do you view your trials and your tribulations? Do you view it as the glass being half empty or half full? It's all about your perspective. Your perspective during trying times. Because the reality of it all is, you and I, those of us that have said yes to Jesus Christ, we will at some point in time face persecution, have some kind of trial, have some kind of test that God will take us through. But the question is, what is your perspective when you go through? Last week we talked about reasons to praise God during trying time. The reasons to praise God during trying times. And we talked about one reason that you can praise God during trying times is because of his mercy. That's a good reason to praise him, even during trying times, because of his mercy. Realizing it could be a whole lot worse. And Peter's audience, are Christians. He's speaking to those that have said yes to Jesus Christ, who would face intense persecution. And one of the reasons was his mercy. Another reason that we said that we praise God during trying times is because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Resurrection of Jesus. That's a reason to praise God during trying times. Many of these Christians face persecution even to the point of death. And what better way to even worship? Because now I could worship because Jesus Christ conquered death. And he conquered hell and he conquered the grave. And so if he be dead, then I can rejoice even though I'm facing death in the midst of persecution. And then we said another reason that we praise God is because of an eternal inheritance that we have waiting for us. Oh, my goodness. That's right there. In verse 4, it says, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. In other words, it's on layaway. It's already there. It's reserved. God has it locked down for you. Your eternal inheritance, my eternal inheritance is on lockdown right now. And God has it reserved in heaven. See, that's why the Bible says we're to store up treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy it. There's no sense in you trying to store up all of this stuff on earth. All of this stuff right here is a future ash pile. Everything on earth is a future ash pile. That's why we should be pursuing things in heaven and not things on the earth. And our eternal inheritance is reserved in heaven for us. And then look, he says, who are protected. Now, I want y'all to catch this. I didn't cover this last week, but I wanted to just touch on it briefly. It says, who are protected, verse 5, by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Who are protected? Not only is our stuff protected, but God has a protection around you and I. Even right now. So as we go through your trying times and you go through your trouble, you got to understand that God has a protection still around us. Now, y'all, somebody saying, well, what about Job? He moved the hedge of protection around him. Yeah, but he still gave Satan restrictions. Still had restrictions. Yes, he did. If you read the story, he had restrictions. He said, you can take all that from him, but you can't touch him. So even though Satan comes at us, God is protecting us. But really, I want you to catch this. The way we're protected is because of our faith. Look at the text. Who are protected by the power of God through faith. Through faith. That's why it's important that when we go through our tests and trials, we don't lose faith. We hold on to our faith. Those are the times that you and I need to cling to our faith. That's not a time to forget about who Jesus is. No, not when you're going through. When those tests are coming in our lives and those storms are raging in your life, you better know who Jesus is, and then you better hold on to him. He'll take you through the storm. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. And so we dealt with those reasons for rejoicing. And he says in verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice. In this you greatly rejoice. And again, this is what we call eternal security. Let me just park right there. This is eternal security. In other words, once you're saved, you're always saved. Are y'all hearing me this morning? There's no such thing as losing your salvation. If you lost it, you never had it. Are you with me this morning? No. Once you made a decision for Jesus Christ and he is your Lord and he is Savior of your life, you are sealed. This is what the Bible says. It's already reserved in heaven for you and for me. So when we say yes to Jesus Christ, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. Now, some people say, well, I knew somebody who used to be a Christian. What? But now they're Muslim. They were never a Christian. Amen. When you've tasted of Jesus Christ, when you've tasted of the goodness of Jesus Christ and you've appropriated the blood of Jesus Christ to your heart, listen, you're not going to run off after something else. No. Not if you really know him. Not if he's really yours. And see, if you lost it, you never had it. John talked about that. They went out from us because they were not of us. If they were of us, they would have continued with us. That's what it says in 1 John. But this is eternal security. It's done deal. It's a done deal. But then he goes on. He goes on to say, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Now, again, as a Christian, we will face persecutions if you're really living for Jesus. Are y'all hearing me? If you're not being persecuted, no one ever comes at you. You better go back and check the record. You better check and make sure that you're in him. You better make sure that you're in him, because if you're pursuing Christ with everything you have, I will face persecution. Yes, we will. Yes, we will. But we need to have the right perspective when we're dealing with these trials and these tests. Listen, 1 Peter 4:12 says it like this. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. See, don't act like trials and tests shouldn't bother you or shouldn't come your way. If you name the name of Jesus, listen, it's going to happen. And if you're trying to live according to the word of God and to walk like Jesus walked, persecution will find its way to you and to me. He says, don't act that way. And so we've got to have the right, proper perspective for trying times. So here it is, number one. Giving you the right perspective, a proper perspective for trying times. Number one is this. Trials are temporary. Oh, y'all gonna wake up with me this morning. Listen, trials are temporary. Say temporary. Temporary. Look what it says. It says, even though now for a little while. I like that. A little while. Oh, I'm so glad that troubles don't last always. Oh, I'm glad trials and tribulations and troubles don't last always. The temporary, y'all, don't last always. And you got to have that perspective. You have to have that understanding when you're going through what you're going through, that this won't last always. This is temporary. This is temporary. This is the mindset that you and I have to have. 2 Corinthians 4 says it like this. 4:16-18 says this. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Look what it says, verse 17. For our light affliction, this is what Paul calls it, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen, there it is, are temporary. Temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Here it is. Here it is. See, we've got a view. We have to view our trials. We have to view our tribulations in light of eternity. You know, James said that your life is nothing but a vapor. And if James said that our lives, our entire lives, are nothing but vapors, what about your trial and your situation? That makes that much smaller. And so what we've got to do is we've got to line up our problems, our trials, in light of eternity. And eternity is forever. Are y'all with me this morning? And we have to understand that. We have to understand that when we're going through our trial. Now, I know when you're in it, it don't feel like it. Somebody know what I'm talking about this morning. When you're going through, how long do I have to deal with this situation? How long do I have to go through what I'm going? It seems long. Oh, but that's nothing compared to eternity. The Bible says forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. So look, at you have to have that perspective as it relates to your trials, that they're just temporary. Psalm 35 says this, for his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. I like that. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes. Joy comes in the morning. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. Listen. There's no comparison when it comes to our problems. They are just temporary. Secondly, here it is. Secondly, trials are sometimes necessary. Say necessary. Oh, they're sometimes necessary. Look what the scripture says. He says, if necessary. Your version may say, if need be. In other words, our trials are sometimes necessary. Now catch this. Listen to this. God, the God we serve, the God of all creation, sometimes God sees it necessary that we go through trials to accomplish a desired goal or purpose. Are y'all with me? And God will will that we go through specific trials in order to accomplish that purpose or that goal. I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. 1 Peter 4:19 says it like this. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God. That's the word of God. According to the will of God, commit their souls to him in doing good, as to a faithful creator. See, just because you're going through trials doesn't mean God is not working in your life. People try to mess you up with that stuff. Since all this bad stuff happened, that's what Job's friends did. All this bad stuff happened, God must have left you. No, you might be dead center in God's will. And God is trying to accomplish something while you're going through that test. We have to have that perspective. Got to have that perspective. That's what the Bible says. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and have been called according to his purpose. When you're going through that trial, you got to stop and say, God, what you up to? What are you up to, God? What are you up to, God? Look. And see, God will use these things. Here's one thing that he uses it for. He uses it to strengthen our faith and build our character. That's what those trials are. There's a purpose in mind. God has a purpose in mind to strengthen our faith and build our character. Now, I'm going to show y'all something right out the text. Ooh, this is going to land right home for a whole lot of y'all. But this is to strengthen our faith and build our character. In Judges chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 4, the scripture reads as such. It says, these are the nations that the Lord left in the land to test those Israelites who had not experienced the wars of Canaan. Y'all see that? God did this. He did this to teach warfare to generations of Israelites who had no experience in battle. And then look at verse 4. These people were left to test the Israelites, God's people, God's chosen people. They were left to test the Israelites to see whether they would obey the commands of the Lord. The Lord had given to their ancestors through Moses. Now God left these nations in the land to test his chosen people, Israel. Can I bring it all the way home for you this morning? That person that's getting on your last nerve, that you just can't shake, that you just can't get rid of, that's always messing with you, always harassing you, always testing you, always dealing with you, that just might be the person God has left in your life to test you. That just might be that relationship. That person just, y'all know who I'm talking about. Ooh. Y'all know who I'm talking about. That person. God may have left them in your life to test you. Quit running from them. Pass your test. And what'll happen? See, when you pass your test, then they'll probably move on. And then he'll send you somebody else. But it's to build faith and build our character. And God will send these things in our lives to do that. Another reason that God will send us through tests is to advance the gospel. To advance the gospel. Do you not know the church, the early church of Acts, the way the church advanced, the way the gospel went forward was through persecution. You know what happened? They got real comfortable in Jerusalem, and all of a sudden persecution broke out. And what the persecution did, it forced them out of Jerusalem, and the gospel advanced. And sometimes, I believe at some point in time, there's going to be persecution that break out in the church in America. Because it's happening in other parts of the world. But I'm speaking of in America. I believe that when persecution comes, then the gospel will go out. See, we're comfortable. Come on, y'all. Those chairs are comfortable. They're comfortable. But I believe God's going to send something that's going to rattle us, that's going to move us out of our comfort zone so that the gospel will go forth. When Stephen was stoned, I like this. When Stephen was stoned, in Acts chapter 6 and 7, with the first verse of chapter 8, it says Saul was there giving consent. Saul was holding the clothes of those who were stoning Stephen. And if you continue to read the story about Saul, he became Paul. He even gave testimony of how he watched Stephen being stoned. Here it is. Somebody's always watching you when you are being tested. You never know who's looking. It could be the next Paul. But your response. And see, Paul saw something in Stephen. Stephen said, Lord, lay not this charge against them. Forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. Stephen acted just like Jesus in his persecution. And Saul saw that. And I believe that messed with Saul. I believe that was etched in Saul's heart. And you and I never know who's watching when we're going through. And they're looking, and then they've heard you talk about being a Christian. Oh, they hear you walking around with, they see your Bible on your desk. They see the bumper sticker on your cars. They hear you playing your Christian music. They see all of that. But what do they see when a trial comes? What view do they have of who you are when that test comes, when that trial comes? And see, it's always about advancing the gospel. I mean, you do all of that. That some of you got honk if you love Jesus. Honk if you love Jesus. And they cut you off on the road. And your honk ain't got no Jesus in it. No Jesus in that honk. But it's about advancing the gospel. Advancing the gospel. Listen. Not only that, another reason is to bring glory to God. God wants to be glorified. God wants to be glorified. In John chapter 11, Mary and Martha's brother Lazarus had fallen sick. And they send word to Jesus that Lazarus, your friend, this is the man that you love. He is sick. And Jesus made a statement. Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. For the glory of God. For the glory of the blind man in John chapter 9. The disciples asked, who sinned, this man or his parents? Jesus said, neither. But this is for the glory of God. This is for the glory of God. And you and I have to have this perspective when we're going through our trials. God, how will you be glorified in my struggle? How will you get glory, God, as I go through what I go through? That's the goal, is to give God glory, to give him glory. And that's the purpose of understanding. Listen, God will that Job suffer. God will that Paul had a thorn in the flesh. God will that. In the Garden of Gethsemane, as Jesus Christ is about to face the cross, Jesus in the garden, we're talking about if necessary, if need be. Sometimes God will allow us to go through things because he has a bigger purpose in mind. When Jesus was in the garden, he said, Father, if there's any other way, if there's any other way that I could accomplish what you want me to accomplish, then let it be. But then he came back. He said, nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done. But it was necessary. He had to go the way of the cross. And it was God's will that he yielded to during that time. Listen what Oswald Chambers said. I love this quote. He says this, no man chooses suffering. He chooses God's will, as Jesus did, whether it means suffering or not. Y'all hear that? No man chooses suffering. He chooses God's will, as Jesus did, whether it means suffering or not. So by me choosing God's will, it's about your will, God. It's about your will. Now, if suffering goes with it, so be it. So be it. It's about pursuing the will of God. The will of God. So trials are sometimes necessary. God is up to something. Amen. Thirdly, number three, trials are painful. Somebody ought to say amen. Trials are painful. Look at what the text says. It says, if necessary, you have been distressed or grieved. And what this word paints a picture of suffering, both physically and mentally and spiritually, anguish, affliction, agony, hurt, excruciating pain, torment, and torture. This is what this word describes. Distress and grief and trials hurt. They hurt. Somebody know what I'm talking about? Listen, the saints that Peter is writing to, the saints that he's writing to, as I shared last week, many of them were crucified. They were crucified for the cause of Christ. Many were thrown to wild beasts. Many were burned at the stake, wax poured on them and lit and burned at the stake. That's torment. That's painful. That's anguish. And you know, that's the physical side, but the mental side is a whole lot worse. Somebody know what I'm talking about? Listen, come on, y'all. I need y'all to really walk with me. It hurts to take a stand for Jesus. It hurts. It hurts to take a stand for Jesus. And you know, this is what the Bible says, and this is how I have to operate, regardless of what they're doing to me. I got to stay the course. And some of us, not you, but probably that person close to you, they don't like that. They're quick tempered. They want to act in the flesh. And they want to do something to somebody. Or they want to say something to someone. And what they're doing is, oh, and it's painful. Because you want to get at them. And it hurts. It hurts. And again, when you've been bypassed for a promotion. Listen, where's Avery at? Where's Avery at? Avery, Chris, I went to Avery's game the other night. Again, I'm not even his parent, but I was mad. Because I know the kid can play basketball. I know the kid can score. I know he can shoot. And the coach let him shoot the ball. I'm putting the coach out there too. Coach let him shoot the ball one time the entire game. And I know that hurt. And when the game was over, I seen this young man come out from the locker room, and I could just see the hurt in him. Now I went, but y'all don't miss it, because he went through his trial and he passed his test. Because not one time did he complain. He was on the court encouraging players, encouraging his teammates, and he maintained the positive attitude the whole game, knowing that he could shoot. That hurt. It hurts. It hurts to endure. That's why the Bible says to endure. The scripture teaches us that we're to endure, we're to go through, but it hurts. It really, really hurts. Listen, I want y'all to understand, and especially that mental anguish that you go through when you're faced with trials and tribulation. 2 Corinthians 11, Paul said it like this: "Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. Look, I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times, the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times, I was beaten with rods. Once, I was stoned. 3 times, I was shipwrecked. Once, I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then, besides all this, I have had the daily burden of dealing with church folks." That's what he says. Daily burden of my concern for all the churches. Listen, it was painful. Look at all that he had to endure because of Christ. Because of Christ. And we've got to have the proper perspective and understand that it hurts. Listen, when you say yes to Jesus, then no, it's not going to be this pie in the sky stuff. Blabbing and grabbing. No. When we say yes to Jesus Christ, we're going to endure and have to endure some hurts and pains along the way. We're going to be bruised along the way. We're going to be beaten along the way. We're going to have to go through some things. It hurts. It hurts. You know, I love that song that says, "I don't look like what I've been through." Oh, I don't look. See, you may see me now and look like I got it all together and everything, but you don't know what I've been through. And I don't know what you've gone through. You know, we look at people and we want to put them away, but you don't understand where they've gone, what they've had to endure along the way. The hurt, the pain, the agony that they've had to endure along the way. And you got to have the right perspective that trials hurt. Dealing with people, you'll get hurt. You can get hurt, but you don't throw in the towel. Got to keep going. Have I got a witness? Listen, trials are painful. Fourthly, trials come in many forms. They come in many forms. The text, you've been distressed by various trials. Various, that means all kinds, all colors, all shapes, forms, fashion. That's what that word means. All kinds of trials. All kinds. Now, again, these early believers, they faced crucifixion. They faced being thrown to wild beasts and burned at the stake and all of these other things that they had to endure. And see, sometimes you may get a warning sign of your trial. Every now and then you may have a warning sign, but sometimes there are no warning signs. Before you know it, you're right smack in the middle of a test. Right smack in the middle of a test. And see, we don't get to choose our tests. I know we want to. I know you said, oh, Lord, let me go through that. No, we don't get to choose our test. And see, the other side of that is, somebody said, well, what about David? You know, but David had sinned. God allowed him to choose a consequence. He allowed him to choose a consequence, you know, and that was mercy. That's mercy, because you don't always get the chance. You don't always get to choose your consequence. Or we don't get to choose our consequences when we sin. You know, but trials, God will just send whatever trial he want to send your way. And see, your trial is not going to be my trial, and my trial is not going to be your trial. God will send the way he wants to send. The way he wants to send. And they come in various forms. Various forms. Trials can come through sickness. That could be your test. A sickness come on you, and God is waiting on you to see how you respond. That's true. It'll come through sickness. That could be your test. Trials come through financial hardship. God will send a test your way financially to see how you're going to respond. Will you stop giving? Amen. Yeah, financial. How will you respond now that your account ain't like it used to be? Will you still honor God? Be your test. Want to see what you're going to do. Being ignored. Again, on the job. You know you up for the promotion, and they just go right by you. Bring somebody in, they ain't been there no time, and they bypass you. That could be your test. Are you going to storm in your boss office cussing? Going off? How will you respond? Even in bereavement, in the loss of a loved one. In the loss of a loved one, that could be a test. Again, you never know who's watching. And the Bible says we are to weep as if we're not to weep as if we have no hope. You know, I mean, y'all, let's be real. Let's be real. If the person knows Jesus, we celebrate. Amen. We celebrate. Again, it's okay to cry, but you don't cry like there's no hope, like that's the end of it. No. Now, that's not the case. How do you respond when a loved one that knew Jesus is gone? You ought to be celebrating. Amen. Now, your test can come in various forms. I said in various forms. Your test could come from your husband. That wife is not going to say amen with that man sitting next to him. That test can come from your husband. That test can come from your wife. Brothers, y'all look bold this morning. Amen. Kingdom man. Brother back there beating his chest. Test. Your test can come through your child. God will send a test through your children. All kinds of trials. All kinds of tests. Various forms. They come in all kinds. That's what James says in James 1. He says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. God is up to something, and God's going to send a test your way, and it comes in all forms. Just never know. Sometimes you get a warning, sometimes you don't. Finally, trials prove our faith. Trials prove, say prove. Trials prove our faith. Look at verse 7. It says that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. There it is. Tests, trials prove our faith. Now, again, you don't know that gold is gold unless it's been tested by fire. Come on now. Come on. Y'all know many of us grew up wearing some stuff we thought was gold. Just bet not put it in fire. No. Thought it was gold. I'll never forget, boy, I thought me and my partner worked a little summer job with Project Free. Got our little check. Went out to the downtown to go shopping. We're going to go buy some polo shirts. And it looked like polo. And then I looked in the back of it. It said Rapa. But the polo man looked like the real polo man. But the shirt said Rapa on the back of it. And see, listen, you don't know if gold is gold until it's in the fire. And listen, we can talk faith all we want, but you'll find out what kind of faith you have when that faith is really tested. In the fire, and go through something. Let's see how strong that, let's see how genuine that faith is, how real that faith is. This is what the scripture is saying, tested by fire. And you know what I love about it? Now, here's what I want to challenge you all on. David said in Psalm 139, he says, Lord, try me. This is what David said. He said, Lord, test me and see if there's any wicked way in me. And what was going on is that people were trying to put him in the same category with all these other sinful folks. And David decided to do his own self-examination of himself. And listen, I dare you. Ooh-wee. I dare you, since you feel like your faith is really strong, I dare you to say, God, try me. Somebody say no. Listen, if you want to be more like Jesus, why not? Come on, y'all. Don't you want to be more like him? It's okay, Lord, try me. Oh, listen, when you do it, God will show you some stuff. Amen. And the thing about it, see, when gold comes out, it's purified. All that extra stuff has been burned off of it. And now it's ready. It's ready. And listen, that's where you and I are. We ought to say, God, try me. Test me. I want to come forward. That's what Job said. Job said that. Job said that in Job 23:10. He says, I'll come forth as pure gold. As pure gold. As pure gold. Listen, ask God to give you a test. It's all right. It's all right. Might hurt a little bit. It's temporary. Necessary. Amen. This is what he did. He said, listen, it's got to be tested by the fire. By the fire. The proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found. Now, here's the part that I'm going to go home on this part right here. That even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh, y'all, listen. See, that's why when you go through, you don't have to worry about nothing. When they bypass you on that promotion, see, Avery didn't get to score like he really wanted to score in the game. But let me tell you something, there's a scorecard that's been kept in glory. Y'all know we're going to get rewards when we get to glory. There's some things that are being stored up for you and I even right now. And you may not get it now. You may be bypassed right now, but this Bible just told me that it will result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So if you don't get it right now, don't worry about it. You don't have to sweat that right now. The day is coming when the rewards will be handed out and we'll get them at that time. Have I got a witness? See, I don't need you to pat me on the back right now. No. I don't need that right now. What I want to hear is servant, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Let me bring it home like this. Project graduation is something that many of our kids go through as their seniors. Their senior year, they have what they call project graduation. Now, they have the rehearsals for the graduation and all that good stuff. Well, in the graduation, they finally get to the graduation. They got on their cap and gowns. They looking real, real good. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And then they go across that stage, and they're able to go across that stage and get that diploma. Why? Because they met the requirements. They passed all the necessary tests. Are y'all with me this morning? And so at the graduation, they all down there. They got on their caps, and they got on their gowns, and then one row will get up, And in that role, it's time for them to make their way around. And they get the diploma. And as they're coming off the stage, folks is taking pictures of them. They smiling. They looking real good. And they're excited and they're proud that they now have that diploma. Then they make their way back to the seat. And as they're on their way back to the seat, families hollering and calling names and blowing horns. And all of this stuff is going on as they make their way back to the seat. But what I really love about the graduation exercise, at the very end, the valedictorian has already spoken. And in the end, they'll make a statement of something like this. Will the graduating class of 2017 stand up? And then they all get up. And then they take the tassel and they turn it to the other side. And that's a presentation of that class. Are y'all with me this morning? Well, in Jude 24, the Bible says, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. In other words, him who is able to keep you from falling. This is the one who has kept us and watched over us and protected us while we went through our tests. He didn't let us fall. He held on to us as we went through our test. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. But here's the part I like. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Here it is. You may not have graduated from high school. You may not have received a college degree. You may not have ever walked the stage, but this day, the Bible says unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Here it is. One of these old days, Jesus is going to take the church. Jesus is going to take his prized possession. And he's going to present us. And he's going to say, will the graduating class, will the graduating class that has received my blood, will you stand up? Will you stand up? I know you've been bypassed in life. I know you had to endure some hard times in life. I know that trouble was on you on every hand. But I watched over you. And I protected you, and you come forth like pure gold. We're the graduating class of Jesus Christ. Get up at this time. Hey. I want to present to the Father this class of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. You might not have a degree, but if you got a B.A., born again, you'll be presented to the Father. Hey, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning light. Oh, I like that. He's gonna present us to the Father, the class of glory. Class of Jesus Christ. Anybody in his class? Oh, don't mess with me. Anybody in the class of Jesus this morning? Oh, don't it feel good to be in his class? Glory to the Lamb of God.